Thank you for listening to the Pentecostals of West Houston podcast, where we are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Join us live at powh.org.
We love one another, and that's what he said. If you love me, you will love your brother, you will love your sister, you will love the church. And that's how men that will know that you are my disciples. It's great to see all of you with us on this Wednesday night, those of you that are tuning in by way of live stream, or you are viewing by Facebook Live. We want to thank you for tuning in with us on this Wednesday night. And before we get into the word of the Lord here this evening, let me ask you to, if you are viewing by Facebook Live, to if you would do that, if you will share this with your friends, this wonderful message that we're fixing to teach to you tonight. I want to present to you something I feel like the Lord wanted me to share with you on an all-important subject of water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ in our study time together tonight. But we need to spread this good news of what God is doing in the earth right now. He's drawing men right now in mercy. He is drawing men in love, and everything that leads you closer to God is a blessing any way that you want to view it, any way that you want to look at it. Anything that brings you closer to him is a blessing. Anything that takes you away from him would be considered something that would be viewed as a curse. But we want to draw closer to the Lord, and folks need to be coming that need God, and they need to be drawn by the Spirit of God, and that's what is happening right now. I believe right now in the midst of all of this pandemic that is going on, there is a drawing power of the Lord. And so again, we want to say it's great to have you on this Wednesday night. And we want to thank you for allowing us to come into your home and by the way of the internet and study the word of the Lord with you together. We want to expound tonight on this truth according to the scripture, and the presence of the Lord is going to be felt here for the next few moments as we go into the Word of God. And I sincerely enjoy our time that we have together with you tonight. I believe that we are postured for the greatest revival in the history of the church. Heaven is coming down, and we are getting reports of from pastors all across North America, friends of ours that have been communicating with us. We're even getting reports from missionaries overseas and how the Lord is moving right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in this hour, and I believe that we are poised and we are positioned for a mighty outpouring of God like we have never seen in all of the history of the church. And so I want to invite you to take your Bibles. If you are in your home tonight, you have your Bible near you. I am not going to approach the Word of God tonight defensively, nor do I approach it with a proverbial club in my hand. I do not want to approach it in a manner that is condemning folks, nor do we want to approach it from a standpoint that we know something that nobody else knows. We're just going to read out of the Bible, and anybody that wants to know this and has an open mind and an open heart can read and see for themselves. This is not private collection. This is not for members only. This is for whosoever will. So we encourage you, we employ you to take that black book down, blow the dust off of it, read it for yourself. It's right there in the Word of God. And we're going to be sharing that truth with you tonight. So turning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And I am very convinced that the need of the hour is that men and women who know that they are in need of something more from God than what they have got right now. We need to have that onward posture that is looking toward more of God than what we've ever had before. And too many folks want to take the preacher's word alone. And I want you to take the book of life for yourself and read it and examine it and see what the scripture has to say that is really there for you personally in your life. And as bishop and pastor of this church, I would like to have a good inner feeling that I have done my job as a Bible teacher to such an extent that no one would ever leave this church and be convinced by some other religious body that does not baptize according to the Bible way of baptism, and that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I know that there is a lot involved and many responsibilities are involved in that, but I'm going to tell you I take it personally on my part to impart truth. And if people can sit under the ministry of this church for a period of time and not have enough knowledge of the Bible to know that the only way to be scripturally baptized is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, then I have failed. I have failed in my mission and what God has called me to do. I want to reemphasize this truth tonight and invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew, according to Matthew, the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. And I'd like you to read along with me. If you're there tonight with your family, read aloud with me. And let's look at what the word of the Lord said. Then the 11 disciples, this would be because Judas has already become the son of perdition and has already hung himself, and the 11 have not, they have not chosen and cast lots for Matthias. He has not been appointed for that 12th position as yet. So the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the church said, amen. So Matthew 28, 16 through 20 is a portion of what is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is also listed in Matthew 28, but also in Mark 16 and Luke 24. And it's my firm belief that if Jesus said it, and it is the Great Commission, anything less than that would be the great omission. If Jesus said it is a Great Commission, it is a commission for us to go out and to do it, then anything less than that would be a great omission on our part. Every word that he spoke was a great commission, and there is none of it way up here and then some of it way down here, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable unto all of us, and it's all anointed. It's the anointed word of God, and should be taken very significantly. Water baptism. Now, when folks talk about water baptism, immediately their minds turn to the 28th chapter of Matthew. And this is the reason I went there tonight with you. I'd like to tell you that Matthew 28:19 are the only, and you can search your Bibles, and you will never find another place in your Bible. I would challenge you to do that. You would never find another place in your Bible where water baptism is mentioned, and it's mentioned and it alludes to the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in baptism. And the truth of the matter is, this was not a baptismal service that was being conducted. No one was baptized there in that 28th chapter of Matthew. They went into a mountain. The 11 went into a mountain. There was no service that was conducted there. There was no water that was mentioned there. There was no baptism that was taking place. Nobody was talking about anybody being baptized at that particular time. And the 11 disciples are there, and Jesus is getting ready to go away, and he's giving them their last charge as he gets ready to leave them. And he tells them to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, you don't have to be very deep and educated to understand that Father is not a name. You do not have to be a great scholar to understand that Son is not a name. This might sound very basic to some that are watching here tonight, but you need to get down to the grassroots of what the Scripture is implying to us. If we were gathered here tonight in a mass group, and there was a mass group in this congregation, and I'm looking at a scattered few in the building right now, but if we were congregated tonight in here, and there was a lot of people that were here, both male and female, and I said, "Would Father please stand?" Who would that one be that would stand? Because Father is not a name. I've never met anybody that was named Father. And the reason, because Father is a position. Father is a title. It is an office. It's not a name. So I could say, would the Son please stand up? And every male human being that was in this room would have to respond to that, because all of us are sons that have been born. And would Spirit stand? And all of you have a spirit. If you've got the Spirit of life in you, if you're breathing breath, you've got the Spirit of life in you. And all of us have that. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, but yet still have not identified who the Spirit is. So name matters. It matters. And this is not parsing of words, but the name matters. And when it comes to baptism in Jesus, Matthew's gospel narrative was written with the Jews in mind. And inspired Matthew to speak to the Jews who knew they were only one God, monotheistic in their belief, believing that there's only one God. And he wanted them to recognize that the name of the Father in creation, follow me here, the name of the Father in creation, and the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, the name of all three of those offices of salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And if I was to tell a minister that is on our staff here at this church, "I want you to baptize someone tonight in the name of the president," and they went up into the baptismal tank, and I said, or they said to that individual, and they called their name out, "I'm doing what the bishop has asked us to do. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the president of the United States." And that's what they said. They just simply repeated that, "I now baptize you in the name of the president of the United States." Then I asked you, ladies and gentlemen, did he do what I said? Or did he just repeat what I said? Because in order for him to do what I told him to do, he would have to now say, "I now baptize you in the name of Donald J. Trump." Because that is the name of the president of the United States. Is that correct? So when Jesus said, "I want you to baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost," on the day of Pentecost, we will show you on every account after the day of Pentecost, when the apostles heard him say, "Baptize," them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When they did what he told them to do, they always did that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. And so we're not here to simply repeat what he said, because if we just repeated what he said, we have not obeyed the truth of the Word of God. We have not done what he told us to do. If I say I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I say that, and I splash you down, and I pull you up out of the water, I have not obeyed Matthew 28:19. I have simply repeated what he said. I told you that I was going to do it, but I never did it. Because until I say in the name of Jesus Christ, I have not baptized you in the name of the Father. I have not baptized you in the name of the Son. And I have not baptized you in the name of the Holy Ghost. Because the name of the Father, and here it is, hold on to this and look at these scriptures. The name of the Father is found in John 5, chapter 43. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, John 5, 43. The name of the Son is given to us in Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, Jesus said, will send in my name. So if the Holy Ghost has got a name, Jesus said, I have it. The name of the Father, John 5:43. The name of the Son, Matthew 1:21. And the name of the Holy Ghost, John 14:26. Somebody said, well, it seems like you're leaving the Father out of this. No, the Bible said, listen to this one, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him, who? Jesus. It pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. And if it makes the Father happy, it ought to make us happy. His feelings aren't hurt because we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he commands us to do so in Matthew 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16:15-18. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How are all of these wonderful privileges invoked? In the name of Jesus Christ. It all comes through the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Luke 24:44-47, he said unto them, these are the words that I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are concerning me, written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then 45 said, opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is what we're praying is going to happen here while we're teaching this study tonight. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Watch this. Verse 47. And repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Nothing is said about the Father. Nothing is said about the Holy Ghost. It's simply in the name of Jesus, because it's in that one name is vested the power and the authority of all three manifestations of God, as Father, as Son, and as the Holy Spirit, indwelling the believer, indwelling the church. Why is it so important, Pastor Lewis, that I baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? Ephesians 4 and 5 will give you that good reason. It was up on that screen. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There's not two baptisms. There's not two Lords. There's not many faiths. There's one faith. And humanity likes choices. Humanity wants multiple choices, but God is the one that makes this choice, and He chooses that there would only be one baptism. And of course, that one baptism is made up of two elements, and that is water and spirit, according to John 3 and 5. One baptism made up of two elements, a water baptism and a spirit baptism. And all of that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me give you what I'm going to call a baptismal scoreboard. This is not a sports report, but we're going to give you the score because it was settled a long time ago in the book of Acts. We're going to show you in the Bible where folks were actually baptized and the preacher spoke the words in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, the important part is J-E-S-U-S because that's the power of God that we're going to show you tonight through this study. Everybody reading together out of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Are you ready? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is really the only verse in the Bible that we need to know that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But of course, we have many, many others. You say, why? Why? Because this was the birth date of the New Testament church. And that's how they were baptized on that date when the church began. And any Christian religion, any Christian organization will not refute what I'm telling you right now. All will agree that the church had its inaugural. It started on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. So we're going back to the very, somebody said, what branch of religion are you? We're no branch. We're back at the very stump. We're back at the very root system, the very beginning, the inception of the church. And we read to you just now in Ephesians 4 and 5, there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. The Bible said that He commanded them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And I want you to know that there is power when you're baptized in His name. In Jerusalem, there is the city in which this all took place in the beginning. Jerusalem is the city where it all began, Luke 24 and 47. In Jerusalem is where they were first baptized. Then you go to Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, this is the Samaritans, which is a half Jew, half Gentile. It's a mixture of a Gentile and a Jewish person together. When he came to the Samaritans, Philip began to preach the kingdom of God unto them. And the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. How were they baptized? In the name of Jesus Christ. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. And continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that in Samaria they had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John unto them, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. As yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How were they baptized in Samaria? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Bishop Lewis, you apostolic Pentecostals read a lot out of the book of Acts, and rightly so, because the book of Acts is the historical document on the New Testament church. It's a diary of the New Testament church. Acts 22 and 16. Now, Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The original rendition of that verse says, and now why do you delay? What are you waiting for? Why are you delaying? Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, calling on his name. This is how Saul, now becoming the Apostle Paul, is giving his testimony about his conversion. Well, someone said, he said, in the name of the Lord. Acts 9 and 5 tells us who the name of the Lord is. Let me show that to you, Acts 9 and 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? This is the same man that we're talking about. This is Saul of Tarsus. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. So that answers that question, who is the name of the Lord? The Lord, he is Jesus. Hallelujah. So the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. So at Damascus, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Now we go to Acts chapter 10, and we read about what happened at Caesarea. This is the conversion of the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. To him, verse 43 said, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. For how did they know they received the Holy Ghost? Well, verse 47 or 46 tells you how they knew they had received the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them. I wish I had time to play a little bit on that with the scripture. He did not suggest with them, but he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So far we have Jerusalem, we have Samaria, we have Damascus, we have Caesarea, and now in Acts 19 we go to Ephesus to show you that the New Testament church always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 19, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he found certain disciples and said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto then what were you baptized? If you don't know about the Holy Ghost, then how were you baptized? And they said unto him, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. When they heard this, they had already been baptized, but they had been baptized according to John's baptism. But when they heard this, they were rebaptized. This time they got baptized the proper biblical way. They got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and they prophesied. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 said, for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you have been baptized into Christ, then you have put on Christ. So when we got baptized into Christ, when we get baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. You come up out of that water and you have taken on a new name. You are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You have taken on that covenant name, which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have Jesus on the inside, he's working on the outside. And we've got Jesus on the inside, and we've got Jesus on the outside. We bear him by being filled with the Holy Ghost. Watch this. We bear him by being filled with the Holy Ghost. We wear him by being baptized in Jesus' name. We put on him in water baptism, so we wear him in baptism. We bear him by being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we are commanded to do both according to John 3:5 to complete the new birth. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. By the Spirit baptism, you are putting on the name of Jesus Christ. You are bearing that name. But when you get baptized in Jesus' name, you are wearing that name. And now you have that name on the inside of you. That's a marvelous revelation right there. Colossians 2:12 said, buried with him. Colossians 2:12 said, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen through him, through the operation of God, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So it says, in him. Who is that him? It's Jesus. We want to be identified with him. This is the purpose of what we're talking about tonight. We want to identify with him. According to 1 Corinthians 15:1-8, we want to identify with him through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. And this is how we do that, through repentance. Through repentance, we die just like Jesus died. Through baptism, we are buried just like he was buried. And when we rise up resurrected from that dead life. We rise up to be filled as it came into that tomb and the Spirit of God came back into the body of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that quickened Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So what's going to raise you up in that day of the Lord when Jesus comes back to get the church is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you. We want to identify with him. That's why we are called Christians. We identify with him. They saw something in them that they said they could tell that they had been with Jesus. They called them first Christians at Antioch because they saw that they had been with Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the one who bled for us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that got up for us. He's the one that is ruling for us. He's the one that's reigning for us. He's the one that's returning for us. He's the one we're going to worship. And by the way, let me give you the score so far. It's 9-0. All in favor of the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible wins. The Bible wins every time. You say you Pentecostals win. No, the Bible wins because that's what's right. It's not the name Pentecostal that wins. It's the Bible that wins. The Bible is right. Leave Pentecost out of this. Leave the name Pentecost out of this. Take the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. There are 9 different references that I've gave you that alludes to the name of Jesus in water baptism. I cannot find one single verse that alludes to the Father or the Holy Ghost in water baptism. It's always in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to show you the importance of baptism, some people try to say that baptism isn't important or wait till some warm water or it's starting to warm up. We'll wait till a little bit later date. Once a year, we'll have a baptismal service and those that want to get baptized. Let me tell you about this church right here. This is what makes this church very unique. This church is opened up 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to anybody that wants to get baptized in Jesus' name. Now, that's not to make you a member of that church or this church. That's to get your sins remitted. That's to take care of the sin issue in your life. I don't have time to deal with all of the side issues, but let me tell you this. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas saw the conversion of the jailer and what happened at midnight, and the Bible said they went to his house, and when they got there, you know, they were all sleeping, but the Bible said right in the middle of the night, he woke up his entire house and all of his house. He com- all of his house. They were all baptized. If baptism was not that important, then at least they could have waited until the sun came up in the morning. But he got them up in the middle of the night and said, "This is so vitally important. I cannot let you sleep. I've had been converted. God has filled me up. God has changed my life, converted me. I'm a brand new creature. God's filled me with his spirit. Now it's time to get my sins washed away." And he told his whole household, "You need to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a very integral, important part of biblical salvation. Mark 16 and 16 said, "He that believeth and is baptized." ETH is a continual process. That's not a one-time thing that I believe on the Lord, but he that believeth, ETH is a continual state. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So it's believe, baptism, salvation. That's just what I read to you in Mark 16 and 16 is the scriptural order of salvation. Baptism is right in the middle of biblical salvation. Believe, baptism, salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Modern religion quotes that verse like this: "He that believeth and is saved shall be baptized." But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Matter of fact, you are not qualified to be baptized until you believe. Furthermore, you are not qualified to be baptized until you repent of your sins. You have to repent of your sins. Some people say, "Well, Pastor, it does not say if you're not baptized, you will be damned." The biblical prerequisite on every instance prior to baptism shows us that you are not even a candidate to be baptized until you are a believer. I'm concerned about modern religion that puts Jesus Christ into the dry cleaning business. They were all baptized in water when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still water involved in New Testament baptism, which is an integral part of the plan of salvation. Somebody said, "Well, what if somebody was out in the desert and wanted Jesus into their life and there was no water?" It never happened and it never will happen. You've never had one biblical illustration of that happen. In Acts chapter 8, a man wanted to be saved and he was in the desert by himself, riding in a chariot on his way back to Ethiopia, had already came to the court of the Gentiles to worship, and was reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And all of a sudden, the Spirit caught an evangelist by the name of Philip that was in a red-hot revival. And it picked him up and it translated him 30 miles away. And he landed inside of a chariot while this man was reading. And he popped up on the scene all of a sudden inside that chariot. And he looked at him and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" He said, "How can I understand except Son Man show me?" The next thing we know, they're in the middle of this desert. And he said, "See, here's water right here. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Letting me know, anytime there is an honest heart and a willing heart and somebody that really, truly wants to be saved, God will always make a way for you to get baptized in Jesus' name. There's always a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. And you can draw all kinds of suppositions, but God is going to hear the cry of a hungry soul, and wherever it is, he will provide the necessary ingredients for that soul to be baptized, no matter what those circumstances are. Acts 2:38 says to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repent, baptize, remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is no remission without repentance, and there's no remission without water baptism. Water baptism is not church membership. It's the remission of sins. You don't get baptized to join the church. You get baptized to get your sins washed away. Get your Bibles down and look at what the Word of God says about baptism. Almost every time it's in there in the instance of being for the remission of sin. Somebody said, you get baptized because your sins are remitted. That word, for the remission, it tests that principle. If for means because your sins are remitted, or go ahead and be baptized. Because Matthew 26 and 28 said this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. This is the cup. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Does that mean that the blood was shed because my sins were already remitted? No. It means that his blood was shed that so people could have remission of sins. But if you do not take advantage of that, and you do not allow that blood to cover you, that blood will not cover you anywhere there is an unrepentant heart. There's got to be a repentant heart. There's got to be a forsaking and a turning away from your ways, your sinful ways, and you turn toward God. And you do that with an honest, open heart. And when you do that, that makes you a prime candidate to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is for the remission of sins. And the reason why some people struggle and they grope and they have conflict in their walk with God is because they're doing the best that they can do. But until you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're still dragging around every sin that you've ever committed in your life. But when you get baptized, that word remit means it's taken away. It's totally cut off. It's taken away. That backpack that you wore on your back that's loaded down with heavy rocks is suddenly dropped off of you, and you don't carry that load or that responsibility anymore. It's washed away. Through the name of Jesus Christ, you are set free. Have you ever been pulling on something, a rope, and pulling on that rope, and the rope broke? The reason why so many people struggle trying to live for God is because they're pulling a whole lot of stuff that is unnecessary for them to pull. But when you go down in the name of Jesus Christ, it's cut off. And all of a sudden you're free and you don't have that. I've seen so many people come up out of that water. This tank right here, this baptistry right here. I've seen people come up out of this baptistry. I told them I wanted to set this up here tonight so I could show you where people come down this staircase. I've seen people when they landed on this landing, put their foot on this landing. As soon as they put their foot on this landing, they began to speak with tongues and they were filled with the Holy Ghost even before they went down in the water. And when they come up out of the water, they were still speaking in tongues. But I've seen people come up out of this water next door in the old sanctuary over there. The thousands of people that were baptized in Jesus' name in that little building next door. I cannot tell you how many. One time in 1 year we baptized over 200 people. Let me tell you what, I've never seen anybody that came up out of that water with a frown on their face. But when you come up out of that water, you come up out of that water with a smile on your face. Why? Because your sins have been removed, and it feels good to have that heavy load removed off of you and cut away. So that's what happens when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins or your sins. All right, you repent, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now Acts 22 and 16 said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, underscore that word, arise, and underscore be baptized, and underscore wash away thy sins. This is it, arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Arise, be baptized, wash away their sins. Baptism is between rising and your sins being washed away. Baptism is between believing and salvation. Baptism is between repenting and remission. Baptism is right in the middle of God's salvation plan. It's right in the middle. You can't take it out. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Dead, that means that's repentance. You die to sin and repentance. You tell God that you're sorry for your life that you have been living. You are sorry for the sins that you have committed. And you get honest with God. And when you get honest with him, he will get real with you. And he is faithful and just to forgive us when we call upon him in repentance. We get baptized. That is death. And then we rise to newness of life. That's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been put on Christ. Here it is. As many, baptism, put on Christ. What is in the middle of as many and put on Christ? Baptism. It's always right in the middle. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism. Baptism, you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Dead in sins, baptized, risen. What's in the middle? Baptism. You know, it's hard to rise if you've never been buried. It's hard to be resurrected if you've never been buried. And when you're buried with him in baptism, so that you might put on that newness of life. Matthew 28:19, going back to that, teach. Go into all nations and teach. Baptize. Teach to observe all things. What's in the middle? Teach. Teach all things. Right between that, baptize. It's always in the middle. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Figure, baptism saves us. Now, Pastor, you're preaching and you're teaching that baptism will save you. No, but baptism is a part of salvation. Baptism alone will not save you, but obeying God will save you. Obeying his word will save you. And a part of obeying God is obeying what he said to you about water baptism. This is what Luke 7:30 said. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. How? How did they reject the counsel of God against themselves? Not being baptized of him. They rejected the counsel of God. They rejected him because they rejected water baptism. Now, if you reject the counsel of God by not obeying John's baptism, how much more would anybody be rejecting the counsel of God by rejecting Jesus' baptism? John 3:5, Jesus verily answered and said unto them, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible said that a man has got to be born of the water and the spirit. And the scripture references to that is Acts 2, where they were born of the water and the spirit. Now, I know that there are a lot of folks that would tell you, like to tell you, that the water there refers to something other than literal water. And if you believe that, then what does the spirit refer to? Why would Jesus say that part of that is literal and then part of that is figurative? Part of that is literal and part is figurative. If water represents something, what does the Spirit represent? The Spirit represents the Spirit and the water represents the water. And Jesus said, you've got to be born again of water and Spirit. You got scripture for that? Yes. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts chapter 19. water and spirit. All the way through the New Testament is water and spirit. Ephesians 3 and 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Who in heaven and earth is named? They're all named. Jesus, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, your name after you get baptized is no longer just whatever it is, but it's whatever it is and Jesus. Whatever your name is, you add Jesus to that because you have now put on the family name. Anybody that is brought into the family of God has his name attached to them. You have the family name. Isn't it common if you get married to take on whoever you marry, take on their name, and he is the groom, and we are the bride, the church is the bride, so we take on the groom's name. That's just the proper protocol for that. So we take on the name. And a lot of people are wanting to commit the sin of chambering. That's what the Bible calls it. That's chambering. We call it in our generation of just living together. They're not married. They're just living together, chambering. And the Bible rebukes and resists that type of lifestyle called chambering or living together outside of marriage. Do you know who loses in the chambering situation? The woman does. Because unless her name is his name, she has no contract to anything that's his. The only contractual strength that she has is to bear his name. Now, a lot of folks are spiritually chambering with the Lord, just kind of living together because they refuse to take his name. And the way that you get his name is to be baptized into his name. I'm talking about something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that should not come to anybody as a maybe so, hope so, think so. But you ought to want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if for no other reason, to have the family name. To take on the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that we have a right to everything that's his. Everything that belongs to him. Give you scripture for that. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. And if you have that name, you've got the contractual right to have everything that Jesus has. Hallelujah. We're in that contract. We're in that covenant. We're married. He's the groom. We're the bride. Now let me close out in Genesis 17. This is very powerful, folks. Are minimizing and cooperating with the spirit of the age. And that, and what the spirit of the age is this. Don't tell me there's only one way to do anything. They don't want to hear that. Listen to me. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to, you know, I don't have time just anymore to play games. I've got to get up here and do what I've got to do before the Lord comes back. And so I don't have time to waste. So I'm just going to tell it like it is. They don't want to hear that anymore. Tell me that there's only one way to do something. They don't want to hear that in the public school system. They don't want to hear that in the political arena. They don't want to hear that on the job. Folks don't want to hear this is the way and that's the way it is. They want a multiple choice. They want a myriad of choices. God never has dealt with multiple choice. The only choice God gives you is obey and be saved or rebel and be lost. And that's it. It's God's way or it's no way. Genesis 17, verses 9 through 13. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after in thy generations or in their generation. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you, And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money from a stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting, It doesn't stop. An everlasting. It has a beginning, but it has no ending. That's what the word everlasting means. Hallelujah. I can get off on another subject right there. You're never going to find where Jesus was ever called the eternal Son of God. He is the everlasting Father, and he is the Son of Man. He's never called the eternal Son of God because sonship had a beginning, and that was in Bethlehem. But that's another study. Now, notice what happens in the Old Testament. This was the physical, visible means of revealing that you are the chosen seed of God. Genesis 17 and 14, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, for he hath broken my covenant. And the New Testament covenant of circumcision is not the putting of the way of the flesh or the filth of the flesh, according to Colossians 2 and 11, in whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Here it is. Here's the circumcision. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the operation of the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. New Testament circumcision puts us into covenant with God and places us into the family of God, and rejecting it will cause you to be rejected of the Lord. Now, this is when Jesus was 8 days old. Did you know that when Jesus was 8 days old, the male child that was born in a Hebrew family, two things happened. They were to go to the temple. They were to have that child circumcised on the eighth day. And on the eighth day, they received their name. The circumcision, that's a cutting, that's a surgery that takes place. That involves blood. So two things happen: blood and the name. Both of them happened in that. So when you go down in this water, it's not anything magical about this water. It's what you say when the candidate goes down in that water. When you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, that water becomes blood, figuratively speaking. And you are buried with him in baptism. And when you come up out of that water, you also receive the name of Jesus. The blood and the name happen in that one act of water baptism. You have the blood applied to your life, and you have the name of Jesus taken on. Hallelujah. You cut off that old sinful lifestyle, and you receive the name of Jesus, which gives you the family rights, which puts us in the family of God and gives us a contractual right, a contract with the Lord. And now we have power through that name. Hey, if I were you, and you were listening to this tonight, and I had not been baptized, I would not wait. I would not belabor. I would not wait. I would take advantage of this opportunity, and I would find me a place to be baptized. And if you want to be baptized, I promise you, it's going to come up on the screen here in just a moment. Way you can get a hold of this church. You can get a hold of this church. And we'll find a way to get you baptized. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I've had preachers contact me all over this nation. I've talked to people, several different pastors, and talking to other ministers, listening to other ministers, talking about the fact that there are people that are calling from different places and saying, Listen, I cannot wait. I put this off too long. I can't put this off anymore. I need to be baptized. I don't know what it is. I suppose it's the urgency of the hour that we're living in. And people understand that we're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. And they want to make sure that they've got everything right and they got everything ready. And I would be the same way if I was not sure about my baptism. Some people are of the background where they got baptized when they were so little, they don't even remember what was said and they're not sure. I'm not talking about a think so, hope so, maybe so salvation. I'm talking about a know so salvation. You've got to know. And Jesus said, unless a man, not a child, but a man, is born of the water and the Spirit. That's not talking about gender. That's talking about mentality. A child that small does not even have the ability to choose. That's why we don't believe in infant baptism. We believe that a man comes to a place where he makes a decision that I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That can happen as early. I was baptized when I was 5 years old, and just a few months ago, my little granddaughter, who was not even five at the time, she was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because God had been dealing with her for some weeks about being baptized and kept going to her mom and dad and telling them, I want to get baptized. And that heart pull you feel right now, that pull, that tug you feel, that's telling you right now, something has got to change. Something's got to happen. What is that? That's the Lord dealing with you. I would not put that off. I would not shirk that responsibility. Baptism is an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience. You obey the Word of God. That part is your part. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is God's part. But the baptism part is your part. You make that conscious decision. It's time to do something about my sin issue, and it's time to obey the Word of God. So if you're here tonight and you're listening to me, I implore you, I encourage you, take advantage of this hour, take advantage of this moment. Don't waste this time. Don't waste this opportunity. We're too near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're too close to the end of this age to put anything off anymore. What you feel right now tugging at your heart is the love of God. And I'm going to ask them to sing a little song of invitation. And I want you to invite the Lord to come into that room, wherever you're listening. You could be in your living room. You could be sitting at the kitchen table. You could be laying across your bed right now. You could be in a closet somewhere listening to this in privacy. I don't know where you're at. But it makes no difference. God can meet you at the kitchen sink. God can meet you in the car. God can meet you anywhere you want to meet Him. All you have to do is call on His name. And He's as close as the mention of His name. Could we sing a song? Could we sing a song of invitation right now and invite everybody in this place just to lift your hands? Everybody that's tuning in, watching this broadcast right now, let's lift your hands where you're at and let's invite the presence of God to come into that room. Sincere right now. Serious right now. I want that power in my life. Oh, Jesus, move right now, Lord.
Oh, how I love the name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our church, visit powh.org.